All right, it's a great privilege to be here. And we do have a good ride we're going to take. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just glorify you tonight. It's our privilege, our joy to exalt the God of heaven and to receive of your great benefits. So we just thank you for it, Father. And we look to the Word of God in the name of Jesus. Feed us with the very finest of the wheat in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, I had to say that last little part for Maria Raya. She told me before that I used to always say that, and I hadn't been saying it lately. So I believe God does want you fed with the very finest of the wheat. That's just the way He is. Hallelujah. Well, we are glad to be here, and we appreciate the opportunity. Good to be with all of you guys. I know many of you, some I don't. But hi, Randy. I know Randy. I was desiring to do some big things for some people, and the longer time went, it seemed like the further I got from being able to do it. And, you know, that brings in frustration that when are you ever going to be able to do these big things? And so a word came to me that said, look, if you will impart a word to them, that will be much more valuable than any gift. It's the word is the method by which you gain from God. And so what he was really telling me was, are you going to give them a fish or are you going to teach them to fish? Something that'll work after you're long gone and work on whatever needs they've got. And so that's what we're doing tonight is giving a instruction in how to fish. Back in 1967, that was a long time ago, we were very young, but Janet and I, my wife Janet right here, we received a word, and we weren't even looking for it. You don't always have to be looking for it, but sometimes they just come in spite of your efforts, and it was a simple word, but it came to our church, and it, I don't mean a single word. It was a word from God, a message from God to us. And this word transformed our life. We've all heard the old thing, I'll never be the same again. Well, we were never the same again. After we got this word, because we had an experience with God. And so we could never go back to being what we were. Now, I guess we could have, because there was a lot of other folks that received the same word too. And they did not have that big a transformation. Some didn't change at all. But I look at it back that, my goodness, we weren't in the ministry. We weren't looking for the ministry. We weren't thinking about being in the ministry. We were Joe and Janet, ordinary. And David and Janet, ordinary. But we had our life set. I mean, I was working at Bell Helicopter and an engineer, and, you know, we had set our life. But now God comes in with a word. And after we received that word, we could no longer be content. No longer keep on doing the same things we were doing. We weren't doing bad. We were saved. We were had been baptized in the Holy Ghost. We had the basics. But as far as living like somebody that's been lit by a fire from heaven, we were not. You go to church three times a week, read a chapter of the Bible every day if you aren't too tired. Pray before meals, you know, the norm. And that's the way we were. But after we got this word, I mean, it was a consuming that God began to consume us. And it was every night, hurry home so you can get into the Word, that just hours every night, and still didn't see the ministry. All we saw was that we cannot keep doing the norm. We were changed. God, and you look back, it was simply a word that we received. So God can change your life by a word. Just so easily. Hallelujah. Now, this word definitely moved us toward God. I contend if you ever get a word from God, it's going to move you toward God. That you're going to have a more godly outlook, a more godly hunger. You want to go with God, what do you want in my life? That's all that really matters. And so we were moved toward God because, after all, in Him is life. And in Him is life more abundantly. Then in His presence is fullness of joy. So I'm not going to find it somewhere else. And after you've had a taste of the real stuff, you don't want the fake. Amen. Yeah. All right, I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians. This is a biblical picture of something that happened to like us, but it's Scripture. You got to have Scripture. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Now you also became imitators of us, Paul speaking. You Thessalonians became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you. Okay, I'm not going to read all that I could read here, but the idea is that here was a people that was transformed simply because they heard a word. They heard the word of God, and it changed them. He goes on to say in chapter 2:13, and for this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received us, the word of God's, when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. So you're going to get a word that is going to be performing its work in you as you believe it, as you receive it, as you let it. I mean, we could have cut it off at any time. Hallelujah. Okay, you know, there's lots of examples of people that received words. Peter, get out of the boat. And he jumped. All on one word, come. Now, people like to throw rocks at the rest of the disciples because they didn't get out. They didn't get a word. They didn't have a word. You only act upon the word of God. But when He gives a word, it has power to it. It'll enable you to walk on water if that's what the word is. So, you know, yeah, I know Peter sunk. But he walked. And certainly he put in his journal that night, today, walked on water. And never forgot it. Never forgot it. Yeah, I sunk. I looked around, but boy, I walked. I walked on the water on the Word of God. So hallelujah, there's plenty of people that got a word and changed their direction. Lazarus was trying to be dead. He got a word. Lazarus, come forth. We don't see where he argued with it at all. He came forth. And obviously, it doesn't tell us much about him, but I'm sure his life was changed after that. That after you've been to glory and come back, that living for a normal life is not going to be too good. So, hallelujah. All right, let's go to Proverbs 25:11. All you need tonight is a word. If it's from God, it'll do stuff in your life. Hallelujah. 25:11, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances or in due season. Now, I think the first part there, the apples and the gold and silver, is all kind of a heavenly way of looking at the value of a word in due season. That it is so high and so exalted and can so transform our lives if I get that word in due season that's meant for me. I mean, we got a word that changed the rest of our life. Just a simple word, and it was simple, but boy, it was profound. So here we are, apples of gold and pictures of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances, enough power to raise the dead. Hallelujah. All in a word from God. All right, let that soak a little bit. By the way, looked at my margin, a word in its season. So a lot of words have a season with them that you need to act when the season is on. But its season would also include when I'm ready to receive it and run with it. Glory to God. God's got good plans for you, plans of prosperity, not of calamity. But it's going to be with what I do with His Word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, in Proverbs 15, back a few pages. A man has joy in an apt answer. And how delightful is a timely word. How joyous, how wonderful is a word spoken that's the right word, the one I need at the time that I need it. Woo! Yeah, it's got a joy to it. It'll change us. Hallelujah. And change us into the image that Christ wants us in. Praise God. So how wonderful, how glorious, how delightful is a timely word, a word spoken in due season. Up the page, verse 13, same chapter. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. Okay, it looks like if I'm going to get something out of His Word and make it work in my life, I'm going to have to receive it with a joyful heart. If I hear the Word, but I've got a sad countenance, it's going to break my spirit and I cannot receive the full benefit of the Word. So it's going to be partly, what do I do with my heart? I need a heart that is happy, that is rejoicing. Praise God. So what can I do to strengthen my heart so that I can heal my spirit, so that I can receive the Word? Well, God has got the answers for us, of course. If He didn't, I wouldn't have brought it up. God is an encourager. I mean, what would we do if nobody ever encouraged us? Well, I'll tell you what Joshua would have done. He would have stayed right there in the brink of the promised land. But four times in chapter 1 of Joshua, God says, one time He says, I got great plans for you, Joshua. But four times, to get those plans, you're going to have to be strong and courageous. Now, courageous is encouraged. If you get down in the blues, you're not going to find the will of God. He loves you, but He will send an encourager if you'll receive it. And when I am encouraged, I can receive the Word of God. So be strong and courageous, Joshua. Hey, it still works today too. For us, if we will be strong and courageous, we will walk in the high places of God, that we will fulfill His plans for our lives. But if I'm sad sack, grumpy spirit, nothing good ever happens to me, I'm not going to see anything that God puts before my eyes. So God is an encourager. He says in probably the most well-known scripture or chapter of the Bible, 23rd Psalm, He restoreth my soul. You know what a restored soul is? That's a restored mind. That's a restored emotions. One that's not overcome, overwhelmed by the weight of life. He restoreth my soul. Okay, restore, I looked it up, Strong's, it means recovered, refreshed, reversed, to cause to turn again, probably a lot of other stuff, but that'll do. He does this for our soul if we let Him. He's that kind of a God. He wants you encouraged. And so He will restore our soul. Now, His way of doing it, Psalms 19, 7 and 8, the law of the Lord is perfect, really just 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. So, if He's going to restore my soul, encourage my heart, it's going to be by the Word of God. In fact, that's what He told Joshua. Now, I want you to be filled with courage. And He said, now here's the way you do it. You better meditate on My Word day and night. And when you do, you will make your way prosperous. In other words, you're not ever going to be throwing rocks at God. You know, God, You didn't do me right. So if you'll meditate on My Word day and night, you'll make your own way prosperous. Okay, that's good there in Psalms 19, but we need another witness. Psalms 119, 111 says, I have inherited Thy testimonies forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I need my heart rejoicing, and the way to get it rejoicing is not look around and read the news or hear the news, anything like that. That's not the way to rejoice your heart. Better hear the good news. The God news, that will rejoice your heart. And it's capable of doing it. Hallelujah. Okay, more on this. God is an encourager in Acts 27, 22. Don't turn there. That they were in a great storm in the water, and everybody was getting rather depressed. You know, you may make 6 days in a storm and be okay, but 12 days tend to get you depressed. But anyway, they'd been there long enough to get sad and depressed, thinking, this ain't never going to change. We're going to go to the bottom. And so God wanted to save the bunch, but He's going to have to encourage them to be able to receive His gift. So He sent an angel to Paul. Paul was the only one probably that could hear. And he said, now you encourage the rest of the guys. Encourage them that you're coming out of this. Now, you are going to lose a ship. You're going to get wet. But you'll be saved. Hallelujah. Well, that encouraged them because they made it. So God is an encourager. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5. And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. Now, I'm not going to admonish any unruly tonight. I don't know if you're unruly or not. But we can always encourage the faint-hearted. The faint-hearted. Now, that's not the weaklings necessarily. Looking that up, the faint-hearted, it's people that are small in thought. They're thinking too small. I like to think of it more as narrow in scope. not seeing a wide enough picture, and we're to encourage those people. Hey, come on, you're gonna make it. Give them the truth and they will make it. So encourage the faint-hearted. Faint-hearted would be seeing problems without an answer, seeing difficulties and not seeing a way out. You know, if the need is big enough, well, it can be overwhelming, obviously. Now, I know always in a church there's specific common needs. There's usually people that need to be healed. And you can get pretty focused in when your body's hurting. I can't see anything but that. Or there's financial needs, usually. But I thought of some things that are quite prominent always around a church that seems to be quite often they're never met, these needs. Like, for instance, there's always people that want a mate and don't see one. If my eyes focus in on anybody, don't feel I'm not thinking that way. But that's just a need. I see people go years and nothing really ever happens, and bless you, sweetie. But that's a need that ought to be met. Or how about women that want to have a child and they can't? Well, we feel sorry for you. We'll pray. Oh, hallelujah. Without any expectancy. All those people need is a word from God. That's all any of us need, no matter what your need is a word in due season. It'll change everything. Hallelujah. Last night, I joined the ranks of the people that are attacked by the stuff, the crud, whatever. It's the devil, what it is. But I didn't have the full-blown stuff, just going through a Kleenex box in a, you know, just one after another, tying them together so you wouldn't have a break in there. Feeling the way you do when you're doing that, and pounding head, and so crying out, you know, God, I believe in healing. You're a healer. What's the matter? How long is this going to last? And basically a faithless cry. But wow, God, feels like the top of my head's coming off. And then wait a minute, and whoa, it's over here. That's earache. Hadn't had that since I was a kid. But then it would slip and go down here. Oh no, that must be from that tooth that's been giving me problems. The devil was having a hard time making up his mind what was wrong. Anyway, when I got to the tooth thing, I thought, well, I don't know whether God does teeth or not. You never hear about that. You hear about everything else. And then cometh the word. Wait a minute. He made them. I don't have to know the source of the thing. I've got to know the answer. It all fits under Jesus Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Hallelujah. That covers everything. And I don't even have to ever know the source of it, whether it was a ear, what. All I want to know is, what does God say? So what I'm really saying about the narrow visioned people is that have something that is so big, so strong to them, that's all they can see. And they need to have some encouragement of, open wide your eyes and see your provision. See that everything that could possibly be wrong with anybody's life, God has a provision for it. He satisfies my years with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. So, glory to God. Don't settle in and just accept something as, well, that's just me, that's life. Well, I will agree with that if you can find a scripture that says, okay, get off the faith road and believe, or quit believing. God wants us whole. Do we all have room for improvement? I would imagine. But He wants me whole. He has already seated me together with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that I'm supposed to be walking in His righteousness, in His abilities, in His fullness. So if anything is beating me here on earth, it's my fault. You didn't want to hear that, did you? All right, I told you that the transforming word that we got was one totally unexpected. We weren't looking for it. It just happened, and that's wonderful when that happens. But how about when you know the word that you need? You know, I mean, you got a problem, and you can find in the scriptures the word that would meet that problem if it were working, but I need God to speak that to me as a rhema word, a word in due season. How do you get Him to do that? Okay, number one. He said I was a teacher, so teachers have to have a number one and a number two. Number one is don't fall into the trap of blaming God for your dilemma. God is not the problem. It is so easy in big things, you know, like the people that want children and that's all they can think, all they can see, is won't God do that for me? Why did He make me like this? And all that is God, you're the problem. And we know God is not the problem. He is the answer. He is always the answer. God, you are our answer. Hallelujah. So don't blame the one who can do something about your situation. And this shouldn't come as a great surprise. Number two, get in the Word. Radically. I mean, that means a whole lot. Not mean, you know, I need to read a little more. We'll start in Genesis. I mean, that's got its place, but when you need a word, you better go to the word that you need and get that in your heart. Yeah. Meditate. Get in it until it starts talking. God's word will talk. I mean, that's not the only thing that'll talk. Your bills will talk to you. Yeah. Well, God's Word will talk to you, but not on a casual reading. We may say, well, that's a good idea. That's not talking to you. Talking to you is when, if you will do this, this will happen. And this is a real winner here, number three. Beware of negative, unbelieving friends. They will keep you out of the glory. Not because they're mean, they're just not on the same page. And we're talking about believing God for the good things, the high things. That's what I'm talking about. So watch out who you hang with. (Clears throat) Watch out what thoughts are going through your head. What you're thinking on when you're not thinking about what you ought to think on. In other words, that's a meditation. And if it's not going to bring you to your victory, you better get out of it. So get rid of contrary thoughts. The Bible way of saying that is cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, where we're trying to go, casting down those things, those doubts, those, well, it's always going to be this way. After I do everything, it'll always be the same. You better cast that down. Better get rid of that. So get rid of contrary thoughts, and then the sister to that is bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Bring godly thoughts into your mind, not things that produce or allow doubt. Okay, and finally, I looked at the sower sows the word. That's amazing scripture. I can never look at that without getting something new out of it. You'd think, man, you've surely gleaned it all by now. No, I always get something new every time I go there. Okay. What I got out of it was word seed. Now, that's what I'm talking about, is planting word seed. Word seed will always produce godly fruit. Whenever you stand on the word for something, you will always come out loving God more, desiring God more, serving God more. I mean, it kind of stands to reason. It's a godly seed. It's a holy seed. A holy seed can't produce unholiness. So it's going to produce. Glory to God. All right, where I'm going to end here is to say that, what do you need? Is it scriptural? If it's not, well, obviously, you can't believe for it. But if you can desire it within the confines of God's Word, you can have it. May not be tonight, may not be Sunday, but look for that Word. It may be your mate speaks it and they don't even know what they're saying. Maybe your pastor, he doesn't know he's speaking to you. Maybe some little kid run up to you and say something. Listen for a word from heaven regarding your need. Because nothing is impossible with God. Yes. I mean, that's kind of obvious, but no good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Hallelujah. Stand up. Praise God. Father God, I just pray over this people. I'll certainly pray individually if they desire afterward, if that's okay. But, you know, don't think this is just for everybody else. It's, what do you need? What would you like from God? He won't withhold just to tease or tantalize or frustrate. No good thing will He withhold, Josh. He's a good God. His power is only equaled by His goodness. Thank you, Father. I pray over them, Lord God, in Mass, that many of them will not cast this off and say, well, that doesn't really, I don't know if that'll work or not. It will work. So, Father God, just let them know. Let them, in fact, lead them to the right scriptures for their particular need. It's got to be the right seed planted in the good ground to bring forth after its kind. Hallelujah. So I just thank you for just blessing them with the very best. In the name of Jesus, amen.